Well, I enjoyed those songs. Ed, you did a good job picking those out. Sure did. Yes. And had the contemporary, and then I said, oh my goodness, that sounds like an old Baptist song right there, that last one. And we sang that many times, and in every denomination, everywhere. It's a powerful, powerful song. We're going to talk about today about the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection, and what it reveals to us. We know the Easter story. I mean, and I've talked to some pastors these last few weeks, and they were saying, do you have anything innovative or creative? And it's like, I've been doing this for over 40 years, and I don't have any, you know, because they're all looking for something you kind of can get in, because it's the same message every Easter. It's like, but we need the same message every Easter. And so, you know, it's not, you don't want to change it, don't want to try to be too out there with it. Not this message. The rest of them we can, you know, we can do some things with. But let's just move into this. And first of all, the cross, we're going to talk about today the cross, the tomb, the resurrection. We're going to talk about what these three things reveal about God and about you and me. And some of it's not so good about what it reveals, and then the other of it's great. So first let's talk about the cross reveals the true nature of evil. And we look at the cross, we see Jesus on the cross. And we know, you know, we look at the spiritual side and say, he was destined, that was his destiny, that was his ministry. And it was all culminated at the cross and then, you know, the resurrection. That's what he came here for. Okay. But the cross reveals other things we need to see besides just Jesus. We picture Jesus and he's hanging on the cross. But let's read out of Matthew 27. You I don't know if you have this up here or not. Did I give this, Ed? Did I give you Matthew 27? If not, I'll just read it to you. Then the soldiers and did I give it to you? I gave you 28. Well, that's coming, but I'm going to give you 27 here. I'll just read it to you. Okay, good deal. See, I sent all this to him, and then I can't remember what I sent him. That's telling me about my ages. You know, it's like, what did I send him? I sent him one yesterday. I sent in the outline till we can put it up here with the bullet points, and then I remembered I left out the scripture. I thought, boy, Tony, you know. Of course, he would have gotten after me. It had sent me something. Is there anything else here that belongs in this message? The soldiers of the governor, this is New Living Translation I'm using for this today. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and they gathered the whole garrison around him. You've heard this. But let's look at it in a little more depth. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And you say, okay, let me pause there a minute. Now we read this stuff and we just whip right through. But grab this for a minute. They stripped him. Now listen, without trying to push this too far, there's something so humiliating. So stripping of dignity when someone just strips you and people are staring at you. Think about it. And here's the Son of God. He's a rabbi to the people. He's a Jewish teacher. They don't understand a lot of things about him, but they called him rabbi, teacher. And you sure didn't do that to him. So they take this dignified man and they strip him. And all these soldiers are looking at him like that. You think of the humiliation. They did it on purpose. They had to rob him of his dignity. And nobody in this room, if you see, we need to identify. We lose our identification with all this. And we're supposed to be identifying with Jesus, taking on his nature. And they stripped this man. So there he is in front of everybody, not anything on. And then they put a scarlet robe on him so they could mock him. And they twisted the crown of thorns and they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. So they're mocking him as the king of the Jews. Okay, you've stripped this dignity. You've naked in front of everybody, and then you put this robe, scarlet robe, and then you put a crown of thorns on him, push it in his head, and we see all those pictures of Jesus with the crown of thorns. He always looks so dignified with that crown of thorns. Friends, listen. Jesus is fully God, but he's fully human. So when they pushed that crown of thorns down on his head, he wasn't standing there dignified. What do you think he did? I doubt he screamed out because he was a tough soldier. He was a tough soldier of the cross. But listen to me, you push a crown of thorns into anybody's head, those thorns are long. He was hurting and he was grimacing. He hurt and felt the pain of that crown that was put on his head all the way through. And we just look at it and we make these pictures of him seem so nice. It's not nice. It's ugly. And it still is. So they put that robe and they twisted the crown of thorns. They put it on his head and they put a reed in his right hand. They bowed their knees before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they spat on him. Is there anyone in this room, if somebody spits in your face, you don't want to hit back? I've been pastoring a church, you know, churches for a long time. But I can tell you now that God himself would have to hold me back if somebody spat in my face. How about the rest of you? Are you with me on that? I mean, it's just, that's too much. I was watching old Walker, you know, Chuck Norris, you know, Walker, Texas Ranger, and they were showing a pastor. It was a really neat deal, a really neat show. And they have that, you know, I like the old Chuck Norris as the Texas Ranger. Anyway, if he couldn't shoot him, he put the chop on him. So, but this was about a church and the pastor of a church and these brown shirts, Nazi brown shirts, you know, still have those guys, skinhead, around. And they wanted to destroy this pastor and his church. And the leader of this whole group came up and he just, I mean, hit him right in the side of the face. He said, "Now show me, Pastor," he said, "if you can live up to this. Aren't you supposed to turn the other cheek?" And the pastor did, and he hit him on the other cheek. I was thinking, Tony, really, do you have that within you, in all honesty? The first blow, maybe. Could you let the second blow happen? I don't know. I would like to sit here and tell you that I'm that righteous and good a person that I could do that, that I could do what Jesus was doing here and never strike. He could have raised his hand and they'd all fallen dead. But could you? Could you really let somebody not just slap you, but smack you right on the side of the face and then turn your face and hit you again? And I was watching that. It's a really good show. And I thought, I would run out of cheeks pretty quick. And you know, and there's something within us that just rises. And I was thinking, that's one of the hardest things in my book that Jesus ever said to do, was turn the other cheek. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to turn the other cheek all the time. I've had to turn it all my life, usually, you know what I mean, emotionally. Haven't you? But I don't want to. It goes against my grain. And yet, to be one of Christ's people, to be humbled before him, you have to take a lot of stuff to be a good Christian. He set us this example, saying, if I can take this crown of thorns on my head and spit it in my face, and then they took the reed and struck him on the head, and when they'd mocked him, they took the robe off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. He's the man suffering. And they whipped him. You can read over in Matthew, you read all this other, and I don't have the time to put all this in, but they beat the man unmercifully. He couldn't even carry his own cross. He had to have someone else. They picked somebody else off the street and put him to carry it. Said, "Carry his cross." He can't even see, stumbling too much. He carry his cross for him. Get him up to the hill. He was just bleeding to death. I mean, he was about dead. He was just beaten. Man, I used to call it. used to say somebody's really messed up in the military. They just shot the doll rags, and he was beat to doll rags. He didn't have any more. They really put it on him. And he set us an example, and today, we, at least yet, none of us are having to worry about somebody taking us and physically persecuting us. But friends, listen to me. They're out there all around us, and it's coming closer and closer. And we want to celebrate this day, and we want to look at what he went through, but we don't want to miss the lessons that he gave us. And that is, emotionally and spiritually, some people are going to be coming after Christians. And they already are in a lot of places. And it's going to be more on the verbal level. It may get to the physical somewhere. It will one day. But for most of us here, we're going to find it's on the verbal, it's on the spiritual side. They're going to attack your Christianity. They're going to hit you emotionally, and you got to be prepared for them to put a crown of thorns on your head and to mock you and to make fun of you as a Christian. You're going to have to stand tall. And you're not going to be able to do that until you start identifying with the one who's been there already. And the question is, are we ready to take that kind of abuse? I have to ask myself that. You know, that's what Jesus, he went through this and saying, here's the point. If I went through this and they did it to me, he said they'll do it to you. That there's more to that. Because he's been there, done that, he knows how to strengthen you. If the time comes and somebody's mocking you because you're a Christian, because they're spitting in your face because you're a Christian, he knows how to stand beside you and see you through it, but you've got to be willing to let it. He's been there, done that. He did this for you and me, and he's asked us, if you'll come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me, and this is part of the following plan that nobody wants to talk about. You can listen to the TV guys and they'll not talk this way. They want to talk about the good part. But the real Christian part is God wants us to be in this place where we can accept criticism, where we can take rebuke, we can take this kind of abuse. And I don't mean just some guy walks up on the street and is going to take your money. I'm talking about somebody who does it because you are one of his. And he says, I want you to stand tall. So the cross reveals effect. You know, it shows the true nature of evil. Because sin focuses on pleasing itself. It shows that when people's power is threatened, this is what happened here, and then how vicious and low they can become. Doesn't it? These guys weren't the only, they were soldiers. They were doing what they were told to do. But you know who's really responsible here? This is what the cross shows, you know, it reveals. It reveals how bad that religion without Jesus Christ can become. Friends, I don't want somebody saying, you're a religious man. I want somebody to be able to say, you're a Christian man. Because religious people without Jesus Christ in their hearts are the most vicious people there are. And history's proven it. Look what religious people did to Christ. They weren't the ones that put the crown of thorns on him. They weren't the ones that stripped him and mocked him. They're the ones that sent him there to have that done. They're the gutless people who let other people do it for them. You say, whoa, that's harsh. Well, it's about time somebody said it. Deny religion and accept Christianity. There's a huge difference. Religion will condemn you with its man-made rules, and Christianity will set you free with the love of Jesus Christ. Religion seeks to hurt and inflict pain. And look what sin does. It tortures, it mocks, it twists the truth. It shows beyond a shadow of doubt how much we need Jesus Christ to save us from evil and sin, from becoming like these people that sent him there. What else does the cross reveal? It reveals something else about Jesus. You know what that is? If you read over in Luke, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. As they divided his garments, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It reveals the love of God in Christ Jesus, friends. That's what it does. We see the human side and how terrible it reveals, how terrible sin and evil and human nature can be without Christ. But then it shows how much that Jesus Christ is willing to suffer. Meanness, cruelty, and hatred of people. For what? For our sakes. It shows Christ's willingness to be abused and disrespected in order to be our Savior and our Lord and our friend. He said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. It shows his willingness to take our sins on himself so we won't ever be judged. And it shows his willingness to forgive all of our sins, past, present, and future, everything we've done or ever will do. And it shows his willingness to give us his heart and set us free from sin, evil, and the law. It reveals the almighty power of God and how much He cares. And friends, it's time to let it soak in and say, the cross reveals how nasty human nature without Christ can become, but it also reveals how much God cares for you. It's not just a story for Easter, and we read the scriptures and talk about Jesus dying on the cross. No, He did do all that. But He did it for us. He did it to show God cares. God loves. And God's willing to go the distance, listen to this, for a creation, you and me, who have rejected and denied Him, and who, in this case, beat Him and mocked Him. And I thought about this, and I think about it right now as I'm saying this, and it's like, Tony, you haven't mocked Christ. You haven't spit in His face. You haven't done these things that they did. And then suddenly, I'm not sure. Are you? I mean, have you ever mocked Him and didn't think about it? Have you ever spit in His face? Have you ever said when the Holy Spirit was convicting you of a sin, I'm going to do it anyway, and that spitting in His face? And I find myself as guilty of all of the things they did right today. Don't we all, aren't we? And yet He's up there and saying to us, as He said to them, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And then there we are. And it's like, don't we mock Him sometimes? Has anybody here been mad at God? Accused God of something? You don't care? You didn't come through for me? Why didn't you keep this from happening? Of course, He's probably saying, I sent you 31 angels and, you know, convicted you for, you know, 16 weeks, but you did it anyway. Has anybody ever gotten involved with someone and then it didn't work out and you blame God for it? Well, why didn't you just take them away? And you know, I can't speak for God, but I'm thinking God might be saying something in line. What do you want me to do, kill them for you? Yeah, okay. Did everybody see? There's a bunch of kids going, yeah, kill them for me. This is a needed message today, okay. He's not, you know, it's like I give you my word. I give you discernment. I tell you in my scripture what to look for. You ever gotten a bad business deal with someone? He talked, God, this Bible's full of how to handle business. Who to trust and who not to trust. How to use discernment. Has any of you ever found that what we call love can just override common sense and discernment and everything? When you're in love, do you have any common sense with it? Okay. Well, the point is, in some ways or in some way or another, we've probably all managed to do the very same thing these soldiers did. And yet, through it all, we hear that voice on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. What does that really mean in the depth of it? They don't have any idea who they're hurting, what they're doing, and why they're really doing it. They have no idea that I could send them to hell for this. Instead, I choose to save them. I mean, that's why we're here. We need to hear this word, and we need to realize how powerful this is. My goodness. And then we know He dies with all these insults and the abuse. And they came around to break their legs. They didn't have to break His, so they'd suffocate. There's two other guys with Him, and we don't have to go into all that. We know that one of them stood up for Him and one of them didn't, and one of them got eternal life that day and received it from Him, and the other one didn't. And they take Him down and they put Him in a tomb. It's a brand new tomb. It's a tomb nobody's been in before. What does a tomb reveal? I mean, why do we want to talk about a tomb? And God really worked on me about this. The tomb reveals that darkness will be broken. It will be broken. The darkness will be broken. Yet we know Jesus came out of that tomb. That's why we're here. But let me share something with you that God really impressed on my heart. The tomb's a cold, dark, friendless, empty, fearful, sealed-off place. It's sealed off from all of life. And stone is over it. And then suddenly it just began to work on me, you know, and it's like, Tony, don't you see the depth of this? Jesus being in that tomb. Do you know how many of my people this morning are in a tomb? They committed a sin somewhere. They committed something they think is so atrocious, or somebody did something so horrible to them that they sealed themselves in a tomb and they put a big old stone over it in their heart. You see, Jesus coming out of that tomb, life and resurrection, he wants in your heart to roll your stone away and to give you life. He wants to come in there where you've been beaten and spat upon and been tortured in your life. He wants to come into that cold, dark, miserable, lonely, depressed place where you live so much of your life, and he wants to roll your stone away and give you life in abundance. That's what he's trying to teach you in the depth of this message. We call it the Easter message, Easter morning. Let him roll away your stone. It's made you cold and friendless, feeling so desperately alone, and he wants to come in and set you free as he was freed when the stone was rolled away. Let him. How long are you going to carry your suffering? How long in the dark? Jesus came out of the tomb into life. He broke it. He broke that awful fear, that awful darkness, that awful loneliness. And the stone was rolled away. And friend, today he is offering you the same thing. Jesus is saying to you, I came out of the tomb of death, and I am here to set you free and bring you out of your tomb of death. He wants to give you eternal life and resurrection. You, life, people may have put you in your tomb. Will you choose to let Jesus roll that stone away and bring you out? That's what the tomb reveals. Reveals ourselves. It reveals the power of God, yes, to roll the stone away, but oh, the stones of the heart, God roll those things away. And then we have this, the last thing that's revealed to us, the resurrection. It reveals the almighty power of God. And this is a Matthew 28 passage I tried to get to before. And early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him. They fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women, and he said, "Don't be afraid. That's what he's saying to you today. I'm rolling away your stone. Don't be afraid to come and find life you've never known. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And this is what Christianity wraps around. It's the foundation. It's the whole thing is right here. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He isn't here. He is not here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come. See where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there. And remember what I've told you. And so the women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. They ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid." Don't let that echo into your heart. Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they'll see me there. So what does the resurrection mean to you? What is it? The revealing the almighty power of God. It shows God's power to give, God's power to give and restore life when it's been taken from us. Friend, how long ago was your life taken from you? Let him come into that tomb and roll that stone away. Do you notice something interesting here? We pass it by. You ever catch it? The angel rolled that stone and he sat on it. He showed God's contempt for man's puny efforts to put Jesus Christ down. Do you see it? He rolls away the stone that's supposed to be sealing the tomb, and he sits on it, almost in mockery of man's puny efforts. He's also sitting on it, so the stone will never roll back on that tomb with Jesus. He's willing this day through his Holy Spirit to roll that stone back and sit on it, so it'll never close you up again if you'll just let him in that tomb and bring you out to life. Some of us are so used to living in pain and misery, we're almost afraid of what it would be like to be set free from it. We've been so dysfunctional so long, we don't know what a normal life is. Why don't you just decide to give it a try? Come out and experience life. He walked out of that tomb. It shows God's amazing love for his power to give and restore life when it's been taken. He can roll away stones that seal us in darkness. He can lift us from despair and emptiness to life and purpose. He can destroy the enemy strongholds. Some of you have such an enemy stronghold in your life. It's things you keep doing, keep going back to. You're held inside your tomb. God is here to break those bonds, roll away the stone, and set you free. He's here to overcome the scars of pain and meanness and rejection and cruelty, abandonment and death. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the resurrection. He's come. He's given his life. He's been in the tomb. He's wanting to roll away your stone, set you free. This is what it's all about. He is not here. He is risen. Now come on and rise with him. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we pause in that part of that prayer, acknowledging that it's your will that we all open our hearts to Jesus. We must not leave here, God. We know right there, your will be done. And your will is to ask Jesus Christ into our hearts and ask forgiveness for our sins. Anyone here this morning, you have been shown by the Lord that you need to ask Jesus in your heart. Raise your hand. I'll come over there to you and we'll pray and we'll not embarrass you. We'll not humiliate you. We're not going to do that, but we will right here. We're here for you. Jesus did all this for you. God's will be done right here. It's his will for you to ask Jesus in your heart. Anyone at all, raise that hand. We're going to pray for you. If you don't know what to do, we'll help you. Anyone at all? All right then. Your will be done then on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us, God, forgive us. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sin against us, and Lord God, give us the grace through the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us that grace to forgive everyone and to forgive ourselves as you forgive us, that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All honor and glory to you. God, bless your people. Help each and every one here, God, to walk and live and breathe and be freed from tombs and set free by the power of God and to walk in the freedom of newness of life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it in abundance. And you're, thank you, Jesus, for coming out of that tomb, and you're sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and you're interceding for us right now, declaring us not guilty. We're covered under the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. In Jesus' holy name, thank you. Amen. God bless you so much for being here. God bless you all.